Promotorchat Slovenia.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, we are reflecting back on half a lifetime to see what we wish we'd known when we started cycling.
We've got all the news from the week that you need to know about. We announced the winner of the Massive Wahoo Bundle competition.
And we've also got a way for you to join a new GCN race team. It's open to anyone, anywhere. I'll give you more info later.
This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that illegal e-bikes are getting really scary.
Oh yes, police here in the UK confiscated a very dodgy looking e-bike conversion that had a max speed on the speedo of 83 miles per hour. What's that in k's an hour? Like 140 or something?
Yeah, 120 to 140.
Yeah.
That realm.
120 to 140.
Nice,
nice to be accurate. Now, the article on RoadTC does suggest that it was probably just the speed of the rear wheel spinning rather than the actual overall top speed. But still, that is some power and some speed, isn't it? So good luck to anyone actually riding that shonky old mountain bike at that speed.
We also learned that Alex Zingel might be the unluckiest pro rider of the week. The Visma rider crashed in the Vuelta and dislocated his shoulder. Having got a medic to pop it back in, he then reached into his rear pocket for a gel, whereupon it popped out again.
Oh,
yeah, but it gets worse because he jumped into an ambulance to have it relocated. But when he got out, his bike had disappeared. Fortunately, it wasn't stolen as thought, though. A race official had picked it up. But bizarrely, 18 of the team bikes did end up getting stolen that night anyway.
Yes. Now, at least Visma got a stage win and the race lead through Jonas Vingegaard to make up for it. But yeah, that is some serious bad luck, isn't it?
Now, last week's GCN show, we were talking about whether cycling was snobby and elitist. And reading your comments on the subject was really interesting, particularly because so many of you say, yes, it is. And so many say, no, it's not.
Yes. Now, I guess the conclusion is that it kind of all depends on which cyclists you come into contact with, doesn't it? So some people are super friendly and welcoming, and then some, a minority, we think, judging from the comments, can be a little bit pretentious.
Yeah, for me, this comment from FlynnBryan226 really hit the nail on the head. I often find online that there is a lot of snobbery and gatekeeping. Many people take this hobby, it is a hobby for most, way too seriously. Although in the real world, mostly all the cyclists I encounter are friendly and inclusive.
Yes. Now that last point is super important, isn't it? Most cyclists are friendly and inclusive. And that, I think, is actually something that I wish I'd known when I started out, really. And still, if I'm honest, need constantly reminding of, which is that the cyclists, we're not as grumpy as we look, are we? Now, cycling makes me so happy, I can barely tell you, but I rarely ride around with a smile on my face.
With his stupid giant sunglasses on. You can barely see your mouth open, Si.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is that. But, like, people riding bikes, wearing all the cycling kit and the glasses and whatnot, like, they can be intimidating, right? But underneath it all, like, we're all human, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Most super friendly, and I think I speak for everyone saying that most would love nothing more than to help to encourage more people to ride bikes.
Yeah, for sure. I'm guilty of having a bit of a resting bitch face sometimes when I'm riding.
Really? And you are definitely one of the friendliest, nicest people out there.
I think it's the concentration. When it's all super busy and concentrating, you're just like, yeah.
Is that why you got a handlebar bag on now, just to make you look more approachable?
Yeah.
I'm really friendly. Look, I've got a handlebar bag on.
Anyway, the conclusion for me is to be nice. Be friendly and never judge a person by the bike or kit, whether it's because...
Not even if they've got a handlebar bag on.
You always judge me by handlebar bag.
I know, right? I do, yeah. But it's for the pants. You use whatever you like.
Anyway. Wait. Anyway, if it's handlebar bag, expensive kit, giant sunglasses, or more affordable kit and no Lycra, even if there's a natural tendency to do so.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Don't judge a person by their cycling kit. Now, all of this has got us thinking about all of the other things that we learned about cycling over the years, and continue to learn, to be fair. And we've been chatting about it over coffee today.
Yeah, because all of us GCN presenters come from a background of racing. There seems to be broadly two avenues of things we wish we'd have known sooner. Either stuff that would have made us go faster and stuff we've learned after epiphany, but going faster isn't the be-all and end-all.
That's, yes, very true. We'll start with the first one, shall we? Because there are so many things that have happened, many of them only in the last few years, that have totally transformed, like, performance cycling. Like, we've learned, in the main, what actually makes bikes go faster, haven't we?
Don't pump your tyres up so hard. They ping when you flick them. Yeah. Lower pressures can be faster, as well as being more comfortable.
Yeah, very true. An aero body position is not about slamming your stem. It's about narrow shoulders and your forearms tucked in and your head dropped in. An aero turtle, I think, yeah. Ollie described it as.
Don't get started on kit you can buy, like skin suit socks, helmets, wheels, bars.
Yes. Well, here's an interesting thing, right? So fellow presenter Alex made the point that he wished he'd known all of that stuff, but crucially, before everyone else.
So he had an advantage?
Exactly, yeah. So it made him go faster than everyone else because the trouble is, as Alex and I actually were discussing on the tech show the other week, when everyone knows this stuff, as we all do now, there's no more advantage to be gained. It's just everyone then has to do the stuff and all it really achieves is making cycling more expensive.
This is very true. And actually, the older I get, the more I realise that the only thing that matters is that you have a bike that fits, it's clean, and the chain doesn't skip.
Yes, and brakes that work.
And brakes that work, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess ultimately, whilst we wish we'd known things that made us faster, what everyone should actually know is what really matters, you have a bike.
Yeah, I feel like people might be sitting there going, well, duh, guys, the thing I wish I'd known about cycling is that you need a bike. But you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah,
your bike really matters, but equally, it really doesn't.
Yes, exactly. Now, another thing that actually jumped out at me at the weekend, right? So I was out grabbing a coffee on Sunday. I saw someone, full cycling kit, getting their bike out of the back of a taxi. And it looked to me very much like they had had an issue out on their ride and they basically needed to call a taxi to get them home. And it made me feel very glad, actually, that, touch wood, to this day, I've never had to do that. In part, I think, because I can be largely self-sufficient out on the road.
You wish you'd known basic maintenance?
Well, so not exactly that, because obviously everyone should know basic maintenance, but the trouble is, you often won't know basic maintenance until you need to do something. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one's going to practice changing a tyre. You only change a tyre when you've got a flat, and no one's going to practice fixing a chain until it snapped, right? But I think what I wish I'd known earlier is that basic roadside maintenance isn't actually hard, right? So anyone can do it. All you got to do is have the basic tools with you. So like a pump, a tube, some patches, Allen keys, and a chain tool. And then there's not much you can't fix.
Yeah, especially if you have a phone and access to GCN's how-to archive.
This is true, yes.
The manual is there.
That is true. We know that many people have got out of trouble thanks to the vintage GCN maintenance video. Now, genuinely, one thing I wish I'd known earlier, Connor, just moving on, is how life-changing cargo bikes can be.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Admittedly, the addition of electric motors has been particularly game-changing and very recent, but I wish I'd known that any kind of cargo bike is brilliant. And because I kind of stopped enjoying driving years ago. I hate being stuck in a car. And so, like, being on a bike for more time is just generally better, isn't it?
Yeah, and even if you don't need a cargo bike, just using a bike for transport is life-changing. Next, one of the things that I think back on most is fitness. We know so much about training now. So what do I wish I'd known?
Wow. It changes for me weekly, basically. Like currently, I wish I had done more hours at a slightly lower intensity when I was back training properly. And then I wish I'd done more really hard intervals. So like more polarized training, basically. But then I also wish I'd done stuff in the gym as well. But then if you ask me next week, I'll probably tell you something different. Because I think I've always been searching for the magic bullet. But if I'm being honest, what I wish I'd known is that the magic bullet doesn't exist. Does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so true. I think I would have probably said just rest.
Really?
Yeah, rest is like everything. So important. And I never really quite managed to get enough, I don't think.
Really?
Mm, yeah.
You look like you need a rest today, mate, if I'm totally honest.
It's going to just ridden across a bit of the highway.
And you had an early start this morning, let's be honest.
Okay, for most people, though, any kind of riding is going to make you better at cycling. The fitter you get, the more you will need to think about what type of training you're doing.
Yeah, but actually the real secret, unfortunately, is just finding more time to train. Because the only correlation that physiologists can actually find, can't they, between training and performance is the amount of time that you've got. So the more riding you do, the fitter you can get.
Which isn't very helpful for 99% of people, but it does mean that you don't need to worry so much about what you're doing.
Yeah. The only golden rule, as Connor said a moment ago, is to make sure you get enough recovery. I think I wish I'd known that as well, to be fair.
Yeah, setting your alarm for 4 a.m. to do 4 hours riding before work is probably not sustainable for many people, unless you go to bed by 7 p.m.
Yeah. But also, you've got to remember as well, recovery isn't just about rest and sleep, is it? It's about the whole thing. So it's about your nutrition, your hydration, how stressed you are, all makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, balance, that is the key.
Yeah. Now, ultimately, I think the biggest takeaway from a lifetime spent riding is that it really doesn't matter how you ride, does it? That's the thing I think I've taken most. Whether you're super serious about wanting to be as fit and as fast as possible, or super chilled and riding just for physical health or mental health or transport or social aspect, whatever, just basically the most important thing is that you ride.
Yeah, cycling can be so many things to many people. The one thing that unites everyone is wheels and pedaling. How you choose to do it is up to you. Just do it, don't be scared. Everyone is friendly.
Pretty much, even the ones that look really grumpy.
But I'm concentrating.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, I'm gonna start with the news that we are looking for some teammates, aren't we, Connor?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride for GCN? Because here's your chance.
It's open to anyone, no matter of age, gender, and crucially, geography, because this is to race for GCN on Zwift.
That's right. So the GCN club on Zwift is, it's kind of going from strength to strength, isn't it, really, with our weekly group rides. There's a mega community on there, but now we're going to have a few teams competing in the next season of the ZRL, or the Zwift Racing League.
Yeah, racing is every Tuesday for the next few months, although you'd be in no way committed to racing every single week.
No, so in total, there are four rounds, okay, over the next few months. Each one comprises of a number of weekly races. So we're looking to recruit teams of 10 riders, and then we'll field six people each week. And you get to ride in GCN kit, plus you get assigned a presenter to be your sports director. Not entirely sure like how much directing you will get from your presenter, but yeah, anyway. We're a competitive bunch here, so we're probably going to get quite into it. And then, actually, potentially, you might even get a teammate or two from one of us.
Yeah, basically, if you want to try Zwift Racing and you want to join a team with all the tactics, teamwork and community that comes with it, you're welcome here. Just send a mail to gcn-club@zwift.com to register your interest and get more details.
Yes, the first race is the 16th of September. You will need to sign up quickly. Teams will be announced on the 9th of September.
And we should say it's completely free too. You just need your Zwift subscription.
That's right, yeah. Now, we will stick with Zwift for just one moment longer, actually. As many of you will know, Dan has accidentally qualified for the Gravel World Championships, which take place in October this year. But what fewer of you will know is that poor old Dan's lost his mojo a little bit, hasn't he?
I'm sure you won't mind us saying, but he could do with a bit of help and motivation with riding at the moment. And as part of that, he'd like you to join him for twice weekly training sessions on Zwift. They'll take place on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. UK time and Thursdays at 11 a.m. UK time. He's planned the sessions and you'll be doing the same workout, just automatically adjust to whatever your FTP is, so everyone rides together. We've got a link in the description to get you more details.
Yeah. You'll notice that those are work hours here in the UK. When I saw it, I was like, 9 a.m. UK time. Well, that's that meeting gone out of the way. That's that meeting gone out of the way. What's Dan doing this week? Oh, he's riding. I'm going to do this next year. Oh, guys, I've lost my mojo. Oh, I'm going to need to do that, all these group rides. When do you want to do it? Oh, I don't know. Monday, 10 a.m, something like that. He's a sneaky one, isn't he? Anyway, it's also, as we mentioned, it's free to join Dan on his training sessions as well, just as long as you're not at work, like some of us are. Right, now, in other news, cycling has been disrupting MotoGP over the weekend. So the Hungarian Grand Prix took place, for those of you motorbike fans, you'll already know this, but you'll also know that, unfortunately, it was without top rider Alex Espargaró of LCR Honda, who was ruled out because of a cycling injury.
Yeah, you might remember that the 35-year-old turned pro with Little Trek this year, but this is the second time this season that Espargaró hasn't been able to line up at a MotoGP race as a result of a cycling injury. The first being a thumb ligament tear sustained during the Tour of Austria.
Yeah, and then the most recent injury for Espargaró is a fractured vertebra. And that was a training incident, wasn't it? So he is, of course, as you probably gathered, trying to balance MotoGP racing with his new job as a pro cyclist with Little Trek. And fair play to the guy, stepping in like quite late in life for a pro, isn't it? 35 or... Is he 35 or 36? I don't know, one of the two.
120 kilometres an hour, 140 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, well, a bit more specific. He's somewhere in his late 30s, or mid-30s. Anyway, he's getting a baptism of fire, isn't he, into the world of pushbike racing.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, the last thing I expected, actually, of a MotoGP rider turning to cycling was for him to crash. But he said on Instagram that pro racing is terrifying and brutal, basically.
Yeah. I honestly thought that he would be off the front showing everyone how it's done.
Yeah.
But... I mean, I guess it's just a different ball game, isn't it?
Mm.
Speaking of danger on two wheels, actually, Canadian Michael Woods has announced his retirement from pro racing. And one of the reasons he cited was the fact that cycling is, and we quote, a ludicrously dangerous sport. This is what he said in a statement on the Israel Premier Tech website.
Yeah, Woods definitely left his mark on the sport. He's famous, actually, as the only pro cyclist who also ran a sub-4-minute mile and switched to bike racing relatively late.
Yeah, didn't seem to hamper him too much, though, did it? He won three stages of the Vuelta and a stage of the Tour. Those are perhaps his standout victories, and he's got a lot of placings, hasn't he?
Yeah, classy rider. He also finished top 10 in Liège, Bastogne-Liège, while wearing one leg warmer.
Yes. Now, he will be pleased, I think, that you regard that is part of his legacy in the sport. Now, at the age of 38, are we sure he's 38 or is he?
He's 38.
He's 38, yeah.
38.
He's been in the sport, in spite of his running, for well over a decade. And from his statement, it seems like the changes he's witnessed now means it's time to move on. Either that or my conclusion is that he's just getting a bit old, Connor.
Yeah, I think as well, though, the older you get, the harder it is to take those risks.
Yeah, 100%.
And to hang in there when it's like so cutthroat. And he's achieved so much, so fair play to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he can leave the sport with his head held high, can't he? And apparently he's got some exciting plans. Don't know what they are, but that'd be cool. Right, away from racing now. This is a story that jumped out to us this week. So a new bicycle lane in South Wales, close to us, has faced fierce opposition from local groups.
Surprise, surprise.
Yep.
The shared use path is expected to improve access for school children and shopgoers, but criticisms for the plans range from the fact that cyclists would cause a territorial dog to bark too much. It's really hard to say as that, to keep a straight face. And also that a van had been parked on the route since 1990. That is the actual truth.
God forbid that poor van gets disturbed.
35 years it's been parked there. Well, that's wonder what's in it.
Yeah.
What is in that van?
That's literally Alex Espargaró's entire lifetime, unless he's 36, in which case he was a year old.
Oh, maybe he's had a flat tyre. Anyway, despite opposition, plan for the path has been approved, thankfully, and in a sublime show of logic, the van will go.
Excellent stuff. That is good news. We should go and visit it before it gets towed, just to pay tribute.
A little ceremony.
Right, I tell you what, in Wales as well, I'm surprised it hasn't rusted away in 35 years, the amount of rain they get. Right, now we've got a competition results to announce for you now. We gave you the chance to win a Wahoo bundle. It's quite an epic competition prize, this. So an Ace Head unit, a heart rate monitor, and a tracker radar. And the winner is...
Nunu Nathar.
Not a name I've come across before, but congratulations to you. We'll be sending your new Wahoo kit over to you.
Finally, we'll finish Cycling Shorts back where we started with Zwift. They carried out some research to see what impact the new Tour de France femme is having, and it's usually positive, seems to be the answer, both on women's cycling and racing.
That is cool, isn't it? So according to their stats, 17% of those people who engaged with the race in 2024 said they went on to buy a bike. Pretty mega, isn't it? And then 69% of women said that they felt inspired to ride. Also, 80% say they're now more likely to watch women cycling in the future. And 85% said that they now saw professional cycling as a viable profession that women can aspire to. It's pretty really cool, isn't it?
Yeah, really cool. It just shows the importance of a race like that as well.
Yeah.
I think for inspiring the next generation.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. So, yeah. And you got to say, actually, that race probably wouldn't have happened without Zwift's title sponsorship. because it is the Tour de France fam, Alex Zwift. So yeah, well done.
Right, it's time for hack/bodge, where you guys send in your submissions of bike-related things you've seen out in your travels.
Great description, Connor. More specifically than that, that's like, you know, whether you've done something or seen something that is either hacked or bodged, basically.
On your travels.
On your travels, yes, crucially.
First one has been sent in by Alexi. I used a vacuum cleaner to suck a spare TPU tube into my handlebars for concealed storage. Some talcum powder helps it slide better. If you run the vacuum cleaner for too long, it shuts down. Don't worry, it'll cool down and start working again.
Okay, this is mad, right? So the photos that are attached to this, I mean, literally, what Alexi says, so he's sucked an inner tube all the way through the drop handlebars, and so there's a bit poking out each end as inner tube storage. I mean,
I think people are so inventive. I would never have thought of this.
Well, I know, but there is, I feel like there might need to be some distinction here between whether or not you would never have thought of it because it's a terrible idea, or you'd never have thought of it because you're not ingenious enough. Now, I would argue that there might be better places to store an inner tube than inside your handlebars. Maybe I'm wrong, but...
I think you're kind of right. I want to think this is a really good idea. I'm just imagining, like, when you're trying to pull it out, you're, like, yanking it out. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine that. By the time it comes out, you've, like, worn a hole in it, even with your talcum powder.
Or maybe it punctures on the way out, you know, on a cable or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the best place.
I just think saddlebags are fine. Yeah, I'm going to say bodge. I'm really sorry, but as ingenious as it is, I think it's one of those probably shouldn't have done it things. You know?
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to have to go bodge.
Yeah, okay. All right, next one, we've got this sent in from Andrew Butters. Spotted outside my apartment in Seoul, a great way to be sun smart during Korea's heat wave. So this is an umbrella sellotaped to the front of a folding electric bike. I mean, I suppose that probably does work, doesn't it? If the aim is to be sheltered from the sun,
I think it works. I mean, judging from the bike, it looks like this might be someone who's doing deliveries.
Yeah.
Besides that pannier.
Or like, just cruising around town.
Yeah. But my point is that I think the umbrella's going to be useful when you stop, you know, like you're waiting outside.
Oh, I see.
So it's not necessarily for when you're riding, but when you are hanging around in the heat.
Yeah.
Good one.
I can't help but look at this from the perspective of a Brit, which is that we don't need umbrellas for sun, we need umbrellas for rain protection. And if that is the case, that definitely wouldn't work if you were riding around.
It's going to come in sideways, isn't it?
I don't feel like we can say it's a hack, Connor, seeing as it's attached with an offcut of wood and some sellotape. But is it a hack?
I don't think... No, I can't say this is a hack. It's a bodge.
You
just pull the umbrella out, surely.
Yeah, or wear a hat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, Andrew. That one is a bodge.
Yeah, that's a big old bodge.
What's next?
This is from Terry Mulhern. I recently purchased a full frame bag for bike packing and I had to move my bottle cages out onto the forks. I have had bottles bounce out of these cages on really rough roads and worried this would be worse in any position. So I needed to find something to stop this. I've always kept the thick rubber bands that come on new tyres, thinking they one day come in handy. And that day has come. Hey presto, premium tyre branded anti-bottle bounce bands.
There we go. So if you're listening to this as a podcast, these are, as described basically, water bottles attached to the front forks and then held in place with some very nice looking thick Pirelli rubber bands.
They're good rubber bands, though. So I've always thought this.
Yeah.
I've kept a few for similar situations.
I suspect, Connor, you are loving every aspect of this. Firstly, they have attached stuff to their bike. Secondly, they're attached to the front forks, which you particularly seem to like doing.
Love a front fork.
And the reason is because there's frame storage added. So I guess you're all in with a hack.
Oh, yeah, it's a hack. Hack for me. Definitely. I mean, it's going to be a faff to get the bottle out and in, but if you are doing a long one, it's just like you can refill your handier bottle.
Is that enough water, though, Connor? Because that's just a standard Camelback bottle there, isn't it? That's, what, 600ml? 500ml?
Might need a bit more water. You might have some in the frame bag, you never know. That big bladder.
I'm going to say hack as well, right? He solved a problem with a simple, neat solution. And it's also reusing.
Yeah, no.
Instead of disposing. All right, we're going to say hack from that. Well done, Terry. Last one from Dougal Numpty. Nice. Goodness me, what on earth is going on here? A great trailer for carrying all your shopping doubles up as a passenger seat for the return from the pub. So someone has, using wooden stakes, attached a wheelchair to the back of a BMX.
It's got a bike pump on it. It's got something else.
I feel uncomfortable about using a wheelchair as a bike trailer, don't you?
At least it's got flotation if it, you know, falls in a river.
It might be a boat as well. Is that a thing? Like, is that someone actually moved that? Because that is astonishing.
I reckon it would roll.
I like the fact that the BMX is fluorescent green and is called Big Daddy.
I think this has got to be a bodge as well. I mean, imagine how heavy it is.
And, like, the thought of turning a corner.
Yeah, I don't think it turns very well.
No. I think we might have to say that one's a bodge as well. Not a good week this week on Hack or Bodge.
No.
We've had one good one so far.
I quite like the bodges, though.
Well, yeah, and let us know if you too have sucked an inner tube through your handlebars. For storage.
Or anything else for that matter.
What do you store in your handlebars? As Connor said at the beginning, we want to hear from you, so make sure you send in your hacks and bodges. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we will give you in just 1 second after the results from last week. Connor?
Yep, so the winner is Pine Tree TKD 3582.
Okay.
Sorry, I got my numbers right.
What's the photo, first of all, Connor? Sorry. Describe it for our podcast listeners.
So this is Ellen Van Dyke with a cuddly toy in the jersey. And the caption is, this better be picked up by GCN because it is creating a lot of buzz. The cuddly toy is a bee.
Thanks, mate. I think you did that caption justice. I think that was about as well delivered as it's possible to get. What time did you say you got up this morning?
All that drama training's coming in handy.
No, that's cool. Well done, Pine Tree. Yes, I like that very much. Okay, this week we have a... Is he a shocked or a surprised David Goudou? So, having just won a stage of the Giro... Perhaps unexpectedly for him.
Yeah, it was kind of like a last minute dash. He kind of just got the better of them.
Cheeky little move, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, I like this face. In Dan's absence, I'm going to get started, Connor. Did you see the drop bars on that mountain bike? I don't know how you write that down, by the way. The little mouth sick. But anyway, there we go.
No, that's good, mate.
Yeah, I just want to keep the controversy rolling. Of why no one should put drop handlebars on a mountain bike. Right, if you think you can better that, and I think you probably can, get involved in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner next week. Right, as always, we are going to dive into some of the amazing comments that you've been leaving under GCN videos over the past week. We'll come back to last week's GCN show, actually, because as we said, there were loads of super interesting ones about whether or not cycling was elitist and snobby.
Yeah, starting with William Graham 6878. As a roadie turned gravel rider on a budget, I choose to ride alone because of how snobby the local clubs around me are. I worked for Trek for a while, and even there, I was regularly talked down to for riding an aluminium bike, even when carbon zip 404s and lots of upgrades weren't good enough. The last time I showed up to ride, they immediately had concerns about me getting dropped because of my cheaper bike, and even suggested that I choose a different no-drop ride. I ended up sitting on the wheel of the leader, won't ride for them again ever. That being said, I've been to loads of events with amazing people that are so friendly and don't really care what you ride.
Oh man, that kind of annoys me that you've had that experience.
It's weird, yeah.
It's super weird, isn't it? I suppose I live in a rarefied world, right? Where, like, you know, I'm not exposed to that kind of stuff, even though I choose to ride metal bikes as well as you. But, like, I just can't imagine someone turning up and being like, oh, you can't do that because you haven't got a carbon frame.
Yeah.
If that was me, William, as annoyed as I would be in your position, I'd also think, well, what an absolute idiot for thinking that an aluminium bike is inferior to a carbon one. Jokes on there, mate. Yeah,
pay no heed, William.
Yeah. CD Sarah Millwood said, I always take the presenter's comments as tongue-in-cheek. Good, because most of the time they're intended to be so. I don't think Simon and Dan are snobs. Yes. But I do think there is elitism in cycling, which, yeah, I think we've established is probably fair. By the way, Simon was right not to go along with that rider on the bike path if he didn't feel like it. So thank you. This was a guy caught me as I joined the bike path and said, did I want to chop turns with him? And I had to say, frankly, no, I really didn't want to chop turns with him. I was just doing my own thing, riding on my own, having a bit of space. And I felt a bit rude. And I think he thought I was being rude, but I just didn't want to. It was a Monday morning. Anyway, there we go. So yeah, thank you, Sarah, for that one.
VO2 Maximus177 said, I'm guessing Si is Posh Spice and Dan is Sporty Spice. I'm 65, so that probably makes me Old Spice.
I don't know how you got to Dan being Sporty Spice. No way on earth is he Sporty Spice. He's probably like Ginger Spice, isn't he?
Not too clued up on definitely Spice not. Girls. I don't know.
You're trying to say I'm old? He's definitely definitely not Baby Spice either. Right then, Jerry McBride. I'm delighted when people draft me. It hints at the possibility that there might be someone slower than me. This is whether or not you should just be allowed to just sit on someone's wheel willy-nilly. A lot of debate in the comments about that as well.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I think you're allowed to, unless someone says no. And then it's like invading someone. It's like when you walk behind someone on the street.
It's but do you not close. Think you should say something like, do you mind if I just sit on for a bit?
No, you just sit on there. Well,
do you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Until someone turned around and said, oi, get off.
Well, if I say, they'd probably say something like that, or like, you're annoying me, and I'm like, fair enough.
Would you not think it'd be a bit confrontational to turn around and say, like...
No, you just say, off. I'm sorry, I'd like, just, do you mind just moving back a bit? So they'd be like, fine.
Wow. So I'm of the opinion that I feel like you probably should announce yourself on there, someone's wheel, and to say, like, do you mind if I sit on for a bit? Your calf muscles look so good.
See, I'd say hello. Like, if they look back, I'd say hello. So I'd be like, all right.
You're one of those, like, stealthy ones, aren't you? It's just, I'm like, whoa, what's that? And you just got someone on your wheel, like,
you want to take any, like, help you can get in life?
I love how that you can just, like, there's no rights or wrongs, are there?
No.
No rights or wrongs. Okay, except you are wrong, Connor. right then, and then I like this one from Paul Adamson. He said, genuinely not trying to kiss GCN's ass when I say this, but as a relatively amateur cyclist with previous low-budget bikes and also not a svelte Tour de France-esque rider, I felt it was quite the opposite when I watched GCN. So that's super cool. Thanks for that. And, well, yeah, as we've said many, many times, like, it's a broad church, right? We try and make videos for everyone, whether it's how to change gear like you did the other week, or it's more advanced fitnessy stuff, or all of that stuff. So, yeah. And if there isn't anything that you want to watch at the moment, then just let us know what it is you want to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Right then, speaking of what you want to watch, a couple of vids to keep an eye out for this week. Connor, this one's yours, right? Essentially, it doesn't matter about how many carbs you actually eat because how many carbs your body can burn are a completely different thing. Am I summarising it correctly?
That's it, yeah. So I underwent kind of oxidation testing, which is you can basically determine exactly how many ingested carbs you're burning whilst you ride. So you get a proper number. Which is very individual, depending on who you are, obviously.
No, wait, so this whole trend about, like, stuffing in as many grams of carbs as you can an hour, and actually, that might not be the right thing.
Might not be the right thing for you. It might be for someone else, but for you, it might not be.
That sounds good. All right, looking forward to that one. And then, also on Sunday, keep an eye out for 20 Years of Evolution. So we got hold of another, well, now slightly vintage team bike, 20 years old. To find out exactly what the difference is. And it was an absolute banger of a team bike. So it was one of the Quick Step team bikes from 2005, Time VXRS, Luca Paolini's, no less. And yeah, me and Alex went and put it through its paces alongside a brand new Pinarello Dogma F. So yeah, check that one out. It was good fun, that. Righty, that brings us to the end of the GCN show. Connor, you can go and have a nap.
Give me some abuse this morning. We'll have a coffee. That'll be all good.
Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. As always, we will see you next week. Oh, we should also say, by the way, it's not just us saying farewell. It's a farewell to Isaac. I was hoping he'd be here.
Oh, yeah.
So Isaac, who edits our vids, who many of you will know from his editing and also from back of camera, Isaac is leaving us. as of this week. I'm sure he won't mind us saying he's going to become a teacher.
Yeah, big thanks, Isaac.
Yeah, it's a huge loss to us here at GCN, a huge gain for the young people of Great Britain.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do a smashing job with that.
Good luck, Isaac.